Welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees regular business meeting. Call to order at 7:00 PM. I apologize. First of all, I'm still not feeling too well tonight. I'm a little better, and also we have a second trustee who's now not feeling well. I messed up the agenda, so you're missing on yours the roll call and the Pledge of Allegiance, which we will do. You'll notice it starts with number 3. It's behind the paragraph for the public hearing. So roll call. I'll just read it if you guys don't care. Zoning Director Arnold.
Here.
Interim Fire Chief Schriebel.
Here.
Fiscal Officer Ross cannot be here tonight. We move the meeting. Trustee Van Haren.
Yes.
Trustee Dick.
Yes.
And Trustee Reese present. Okay, if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Next we have staff reports. Seeing no sheriff tonight, report from the fire department.
For the month of March, since the report was pushed out just before the end of March, our actual number is going to be total of 38 calls for March. We did have 11 mutual aid given, 1 received. Reference some medical calls and some structure fires to Tip City and Bethel Township, Clark County. We received mutual aid from New Carlisle, their assistance on an auto accident with possible injuries. So far this year, we're at total is 133.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Planning and zoning report.
Since last trustees meeting, the following zoning certificate applications have been received. 8177 State Route 201 received a certificate for a barn. 6460 Studebaker received one for a barn addition. BZA Zoning Commission will not meet this month. On your agenda here, it just shows the meeting that we're currently about to have voted on here shortly. Zoning certificates issued to date is 6. 1 declaration received, 1 variance request with 1 approved, 0 conditional use requests, 0 approved, 1 zoning amendment to be determined. Boards and commissions, Miami County Planning Commission will meet April 16th at 7 p.m. We do not have any cases being heard this month, and that is all that I have.
All right, thank you. Okay, Township Administrator report. Mike, are you going to read that?
Yeah.
It's on page 5 at the top.
All right. There are 9 resolutions on the agenda this evening. The first is a resolution for a rezoning request from James Durham. Next, a resolution accepting the resignation of Deborah Watson as an EMT for Bethel Township Fire Department and Joseph Bordas from the Bethel Township Fire Department. Following that is a resolution for annual membership of the Miami County Township Association. Then a resolution approving a maintenance contract for our cardiac monitors and CPR devices. Next is a resolution to contract with an attorney in case of an urgent need should the Miami County Prosecutor's Office not be available. The next 2 resolutions are to purchase new playground equipment for Friendship Park and a lighting package for the new mini dump truck. The final resolution is to record the electronic payments and warrants.
Okay, thank you. Trustee reports. Trustee from Heron.
Okay, so, a little long, so buckle up. I attended the Miami County Council meeting on March 13th. There's a few updates to the debris management plan, which Mike now has, and I'm also the new vice chair of the Miami County Council. It was also the Miami County Health Department annual meeting. They had Dennis Probst. He is our Miami County head of the health department. He handed out the annual report. It's available online if you want to take a look at it, and there's a copy in the township offices. it looks like this. And the health department, or health departments in Miami County, cover a lot of things from vaccinations to inspections of restaurants for cleanliness. So they also do the statistics, the vital statistics, and the number one name for boys in Miami County in 2023 was Waylon, which I thought was interesting. And for girls, it was Ty, Aurora, and Nora. So look for those in the next few years coming into the classrooms. On 3/14, I attended the Miami County Township Association meeting, which was held here. The speaker was from the Ohio Treasurer's Office. And he spoke about different savings programs that the state offers. And I'm just going to go over these really quickly because I had no idea these were available, but they actually are very applicable not only to townships but also to residents. So they've got stable accounts. They're like 529 like savings accounts, but they are for people with disabilities. They've got Family Forward. This helps ease the financial burden for families seeking to adopt. And they are reduced interest loans that can be used for qualified adoption expenses up to $50,000. They've got the Ohio Homebuyer Plus. It creates specialized tax advantage savings accounts to assist Ohioans on their home buying journey. You know, it's not even, there's no income level for it. You can do it, you put it in the money and then they increase with some matching in the interest rate. But it seems like it's a pretty good deal. Individuals who open an account will have access to above market interest rates and they also qualify for certain Ohio state income tax deductions. So all that is really good. And if you go to the Ohio Treasurer's website, it's kind of hard to find. You kind of have to dig. But if you or anybody you know has, you know, is buying a home, they have one for renovations, they have one for small businesses, there's a lot of good loan programs out there that I had no idea were even available. So then on the not such great news, the Ohio Senate recently created a task force to look at the housing crisis in Ohio and make some recommendations to solve the problem. Several of the suggestions that are being proposed are not going to help the townships. Now these are just proposals, but I want to share with you what they're talking about. So what their groups are suggesting are elimination of township zoning in all townships except those that have adopted limited home rule, which we do not have one. Washington Township has limited home rule. Creation of statewide zoning and building standards, elimination of the referendum procedure in the township zoning, mandate that townships allow for high density and multifamily housing, the use of modular and manufactured housing, and that they require township zoning to allow for the reuse and repurposing of commercial buildings as residential buildings. So I know a lot of you are already writing your legislators to complain about the annexation things, but zoning should probably also be on everybody's agenda because if some of these changes go through, they don't bode well for townships' ability to do their own zoning. On the other side of that, I did get an email from Wade Westfall at the Miami, he's the Miami County Commissioner. He, the Miami County Commissioners have agreed to, have been working on a proposal to change the expedited type 2 annexation, which is the current annexation petition that's going on down here with the 295 acres. And they have addressed this issue through the County Commissioners Association of Ohio, the CCAO. And so Mr. Westfall sent me some of the changes that they are proposing, and I can just give you a quick overview. One of them is reducing it. Currently in expedited type 2 annexation laws, it's a maximum of 500 acres. They want to limit that to 200 acres. They want to increase the various time periods for the various steps in the process, like sometimes of 30 days, they wanted to make it 60 days. Their proposal requires a notification of both school districts and the school district, and the biggie is the school district boundaries would match the annexation boundaries. That's not how it currently is. These are significant changes that would really benefit townships. So their changes are going to the County Commissioners Association. They will incorporate changes from all the different county commissioners who have written in, and then they will send their proposal to working in conjunction with probably with the OTA and make a bid for changing the annexation laws. And that has to go through the whole process in the House and the Senate. So it is a long haul, but at least there's some forward movement on it. So we are very appreciative to the commissioners for that. Also from Miami County Commissioners, I know everybody knows the eclipse is coming this Monday. All non-emergency county offices are closed on Monday, and Bethel Township, thank you Josh, has increased their staffing. They're anticipating anywhere from 100,000 to 500,000 additional people heading through this area. I don't think they really have a feel for it, but evidently all the hotels are sold out and the campgrounds. So, and they encourage everyone to get their gas by before the weekend and their food. Yeah. So April 14th through the 20th is National Public Safety Telecommunications Week, which is a shout out to the people who work in dispatch at the 911 call center, and our interim fire chief, Joshua Schriebel. That is his other job, because he is very much a multitasker. So thank you, Josh. Those people keep us safe, and we are very appreciative of your skill set. So recently, the Bethel Township Fire Department Facebook page, there is an advertisement for firefighters and EMTs, along with pay rates of $15 for a firefighter EMT basic, $16 for a firefighter EMT advanced, and $17 per hour for firefighter paramedic. Sadly, the comments were not positive. And here they are. Do these positions include benefits? We need to hire and keep well-qualified people. This is sad. I would recommend turning these comments off. This is unbelievable. Why in their right mind would anyone want to work here for the pay rate is so low? Why would I put my life on the line for 15 bucks an hour? And that's sad. And McDonald's pays more, and you can get more for doing nothing and not risk your life. So, not encouraging, and I would suggest to my fellow trustees that I think we need to look at those pay rates, and we need to work with Josh and Rhonda to see what our budget holds, to see if we can increase those. I did a quick Google search. Tip City, $18.50 to $21 per hour for part-time, and all our firefighters are part-time. Riverside is $20.26 to $26.57 per hour for part-time, and those are all dual certifications like we require. North Lewisburg, which is in Champaign County, is a firefighter paramedic for $17 to $20 an hour, so getting closer to our range, except full benefits. They offer firefighter pension plan, medical, dental, vacation, and paid holidays. So, and finally, the meeting minutes. I know there are none on the agenda. I've actually gotten calls from several people, three people, asking when those are going to be done. So I'm sure that we are going to be working on it. And that's all I got.
I'm going to piggyback off of what you said. When I came in January, I had a meeting with both Josh and Mike on the firefighter pay and the benefits package. Since I have a daughter who is a firefighter in another state, Raleigh, pretty big department, I kind of know some of the things that I wanted to see happen here, and I've been outspoken about it for the last 15 years. I don't think we pay them enough. I also think that they should be entitled to health insurance as well. But again, it comes down to the budget, as I'm told here. We had a fire levy. I don't know. I've asked for a budget from Josh in January. I haven't seen that. So I would like to increase the firefighters' pay. But until I know exactly how much we have, I can't say, yes, that's a wonderful idea. We had been giving them a $2 increase through the COVID funds. That was never approved by this board to continue once the funds were, I guess, ran out or ended. And so we just recently approved that a few weeks ago in a public meeting here. We continued that extra $2 that they were receiving. And so that, I guess, is where the $15, $16 comes in at. I'm not opposed to bringing them up to what other districts around here are. I just have to know that we can afford it. And right now, I don't know that. So, and I have asked that question. I think it was shortly after the first meeting we had here. And I think that's just something that we have to get comfortable with as far as paying them what other districts pay and giving them the benefits that other districts do. So that's where I'm at on that. And I too had several meetings this last go round, starting with spectrum because Josh seemed to feel that our internet services here at the township were not up to what they needed to be, and we needed to address that. We don't have in our area the fiber the fiber optics grant, and I'm not a techie here, so in order for us to get that, we would have to go through Spectrum. They would have to increase that, Josh, since you weren't able to be at the meeting. I kind of did it on my own. Beth or Julie couldn't be there either because of the sunshine rules. So in order for us to do that, you know, that's going to increase our bill here by over $750 a month to get that kind of service. So I don't know that that's feasible when we just went out for bids for phone service and everything else. And this is $750 for the best internet that they provide. And that is also a five-year contract based upon them running in this new line, okay? So I don't know that that would be feasible. You can upgrade what we have, but I don't know that that's something that, I guess that's something we all have to talk about. I did meet with the county engineer's office, talked to both engineers there on some of the road things that we were planning. I got a couple traffic studies on that to try to figure out West Charleston Road's point of traffic and congestion. The road that we are planning to do is Wildcat Road, roughly two miles of that. I got the traffic studies on that. It looks like in order to even attempt to fix West Charleston Road, it's going to have maybe some localized traffic restrictions for a while because they're going to plate it. If in fact that is something we vote on doing, it'll have to have a plate over it. There's a veterinarian's office right there that has a lot of traffic. So that's something that we need to discuss in our business meeting as well. I did attend the Huber Heights meeting. There's no talk of annexation yet. They haven't voted on it. It hasn't even been brought up yet. I've been to each one of those meetings. Julie was there as well. Donna was there, and so was Natalie. In the audience there. So that hasn't been discussed yet. I don't know if it will, but we had several conversations with three of the council members after the meeting, and one of them seemed to be a little bit confused about the school district and whether or not we could handle that. So that was clarified. And during the meeting, she referenced the fact that there had been a meeting with Bethel and there had not been, and that's in their public records. She stated that Bethel had no problem with absorbing the kids from the new annexation area that's being proposed. That was not. She misspoke. And after the meeting, it was clarified that, yes, in fact, they had a meeting with a school district, but it was Huber Heights district. It was not Bethel Township's district. So I think that needs to be clarified because if you read their minutes, it's going to say that they had a meeting with us and we were okay with it, or Bethel Schools is okay with it, and that's not the case. The letter was actually sent to them stating otherwise, and to the county commissioners as well. So that was about a half an hour meeting that wasn't recorded, but there are a number of witnesses there. Like I said, Natalie was there, and Ms. Reese was there, I was there, and a couple other people. We did talk to all three of them. They haven't made a decision yet on the annexation. It seems to be that carriage trails number one, most of the people in that area are not in favor of the annexation at all, and their council member was very direct with that. He did say that his ward is not on board with it. Mrs. Kitchen's ward is not on board with it as well. But you have, again, three, four new council members, so you don't know what you're going to get. And I think that's why it's not been brought up quite yet as well, is because they don't know exactly who's on board or who's not on board yet. They're feeling everybody out still. And that being said, let's see what else I've got here. I did get a list from the county engineer's office of all the roads and everything that we've done going back to 2009 since our information wasn't quite up to where it should be. So I'm going to be changing that and adding what we've got as far as roads that have been done and worked through the county. We're not a township that does roads on our own. It all goes through the county usually. So we were able to obtain those records through the county and deal with them with updating our records so that everybody knows what we have done since 2009, because the records that we have and that the administration prior to me coming on is not exactly clear. And I did also talk to Josh at the county again, and I know a couple of you are here from Woodward Hill, and he left a message for me on Friday, and I said I've been not wanting to do anything on this until I did get some information regarding Tip City. And the message that I got from him was that he had talked to the county commissioners, but not Tip City, and that the county commissioners were willing to take on the project if we would pay for the engineering study, not build or not pay for the line to be run, but they would be willing to do the engineering study if we would reimburse them for the study. And that was all I got from him. No information from Tip City, no clarification of the cost for the engineering study or anything else. And that was Friday. So, and I had a feeling that you all would be here tonight, so I thought I'd share that with you. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, Christy. Just writing some notes. So let me catch up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's what I've been up to. On March 11th, I attended the Huber Heights Council meeting where I spoke against annexation for three reasons, being the negative impact to the school due to the sheer number of new enrollees caused by annexation, the road infrastructure and traffic impact, and the culture change happening and the loss of quality of life. That's a summary version. I try to go and speak to oppose it every time, even though they're not talking about it yet. I attended the school board work session on 3/12. There was no mention of annexation or any needs from the township. On March 14th, I also went to the MCTA meeting, which Trustee Van Haren mentioned. The speaker from the State of the Ohio Treasurer's Office, it was very interesting. She mentioned some of the programs. There's some other programs and also some things of interest to the township. There's a market access program where we can use the state's overall credit rating to get bonds, which typically helps if we need to get a bond. He also talked about the STAR account for townships for investments. And all the programs that she did mention, they are on the treasurer site. You just have to go to the tab labeled Who We Serve if you want to read about any of them. The stable accounts, yeah. And there's also an AgLink program that was mentioned, is where a farmer can get an operating loan and the state will buy down the interest rate on the farmer's behalf. And the way they do that is they invest in bonds, and then that interest money goes to buy down that loan for the farmer. And the part she did mention was the Ohio Home Buyer Plus program, which is the opposite, where you can set up a special bank account and they buy up the interest rate doing the same thing. They buy bonds, and then the interest from those goes to that homeowner or future homeowner. It does not have to be a first-time buyer. She mentioned there's no limits for it. It has nothing to do with money or if you've already, it's not a first-time buyer program, which is what they typically are. She's already mentioned everything else on that meeting. Okay, on March 18th, we swore in a Zoning Commission alternate Lorna Furterer, BZA member Nikki O'Quinn, who's here, and BZA alternate Rachel Kiplinger, who's here. They were unable to attend the Tuesday meeting, and there was a Zoning Commission meeting coming up, so we went ahead and did that. On March 19th, I worked at the poll, so I was unable to attend the school board regular meeting, so nothing to report there.
I attended the 325 Hoover Heights Council meeting where I again spoke out against annexation, this time from a zoning point of view. Mayor Gore likes to say that it's the homeowners asking for the annexation, but we of course know that that's not the whole story, because behind the homeowners are the developers who stand to make a lot of money if they convince the homeowners to annex and sell. So while the landowners may have the right to sell their property to anyone they choose, the zoning code is in place to protect all citizens in the community, not just the ones selling. And it should not just be an automatic zoning change from ag to residential. But of course, if you annex, that fixes all of the zoning challenges, because after the annexation, then they follow the Huber Heights zoning code. So what else have I been up to aside from going to those meetings? In addition to preparing the agendas and resolutions for the meetings, working on the newsletter, and keeping the website updated, I have still been spending time helping research financial items, sorting the mail, and things like that. So it's been a real challenge this past quarter financially, but I just want to thank Fiscal Officer Ross and her assistant, Kathy Fortunato, for their continued hard work and dedication to keep the township finances on track, the staff and firefighters paid, and meet all required deadlines. And speaking of deadlines, I'd also like to congratulate them for completing the final appropriations and getting them submitted prior to the April 1st deadline. So despite the behind the eight ball situation, they have not missed any deadlines that we know of so far. So way to go, ladies. Hope they keep up the good work.
Oh, and
that's my report.
By the way, they just started their own term. So they finished Mrs. Watson's term and
Rhonda did.
Rhonda did. And now they're in their own. She's on her own now. So that makes it a little bit better, I think.
Okay. So that's the trustee reports. Financial report, yeah, Fiscal Officer Ross couldn't be here tonight because we moved it from last night, and she's not available on Wednesday night to be here. Okay, no discussion items. Public comments on items on the agenda. Mike, we have anybody for agenda items?
Mrs. Hughes had one on annexation.
Yes.
That's not really on the agenda. We'll push you to the end for that. Any agenda?
No, we do not.
Okay. So we're up to, let me put this back up here. We're up to the action items. I'll just read them. Okay. So we have 9 action items tonight. Resolution number 24-04-036, a resolution to approve case ZA-01-24, which was a resolution to approve a request from James Durham, located at 8866 South State Route 202, Tip City, Ohio 45371, to combine 1.05 acre R1AAA parcel with a 10.03 acre A2 parcel and rezone the combined 11.08 acre parcel to A1. These are Miami County parcels A01-039350 for 10.03 acres and Miami County parcel A01-039200, which is 1.05 acres.
I move to adopt resolution 24-04-036.
Second. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Okay.
Mrs. Van Haren?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mrs. Dick?
Yes.
Mrs. Reese?
Yes.
Case approved 3-0. It takes 30 days after the vote to go into full effect. I can get your paperwork for you. And you don't have to stay for the rest of the meeting if you don't want to.
That's interesting. All right. That's the first one I've been to, is it?
Well, welcome. Come back.
Okay. Mike, do you want to continue reading them?
No, that's fine.
My throat's killing me, so it would be nice. Thank you.
All right. Resolution 24-04-037, a resolution accepting the resignation of Deborah Watson as an EAT of the Bethel Township Fire Department.
Motion.
In motion, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, Mrs. Reese?
Oh, wait, I have some discussion. So I want to say on this that I thought we were first going to write a resolution that required everybody to be a firefighter EMT. The reason this has come up is that we have two members of our fire department. One is just an EMT, one is just a firefighter. One has been an EMT here for 14 years, the other one's been a firefighter here for 25 plus years?
Yes,
30 plus years. But starting, I don't know, 8 years ago, we made the declaration that everybody had to be a joint firefighter slash EMT. These two people were grandfathered in and always have been grandfathered in. One works 2 hours a week, the other works 5 hours a week. Josh, correct me anytime I'm speaking out of turn.
And they're both the same.
Both doing 2 hours a week?
Yeah.
So 2 hours a week. So while it may not seem a lot, they do contribute. They are members of the fire department, and recently a decision was made to no longer grandfather them in. And I feel like we definitely want people to work for our fire department. We are truly not valuing what they have given to us in the past 14 and 25 years, and we changed our minds, doesn't mean that we have to get rid of them. They're still servicing, and it's not inconveniencing any other person. So I thought we were passing a resolution initially to say that all firefighters had to be dual certified and serve their 48 hours. However, Josh just wrote the letter to these two members saying that they had to please comply or we would or resign. So I feel like it's very disrespectful to the two members who have been here for so long and who have dedicated their time and energy to our township. That's just my two cents.
You're right. That's what we did ask for. But what we got back was a resignation.
So after Josh sent the letter.
I'm not disputing what you're saying, Beth. I agree. And I agree 100% with you.
Okay. Agree with how much
with
what?
With the fact that we ask him to give them the opportunity to get certified, and that didn't happen.
You guys asked him to do
well,
that.
Nobody asked. So I just want to say on the record that no decisions were ever made. There was no votes. No resolution was ever proposed to say they had to be dual certified or work 48 hours. I was under the impression, as my last 2 years have been told many times, that there was already a requirement to become dual certified within 12 months and to work at least 48 hours a month in order to stay on the payroll.
Right.
There was only one exception to that at the time. That was the firefighter. And Ms. Watson, who was the fiscal officer, worked more than 2 hours a week, my understanding, as an EMT. So I don't like when people say that decisions were made, because no decisions were made. I thought we were in the process of gathering information. I asked for start dates. I asked for the policy to be produced that about the dual certification in 48 hours, and also about why all of a sudden it went from 48 hours to two.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't feel that what you said, Ms. Van Heren, is correct, that decisions were made, because we did not make any decisions. And most of that discussion was in executive session where we never make a decision. So that's my statement.
Well, a letter was sent to these individuals saying that they had to do their 48 hours.
I never saw the letter.
Never came to me.
If there was a letter, I didn't know about it.
Did you send that to us?
No, I sent it to the employees
that were involved.
That they needed to do their 2 hours a month, a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or your position's possibly going to be eliminated.
I never saw your letter.
I didn't send it to you guys. I sent it to my employees.
I'm just saying, it's my understanding from our executive session that was not what you were asked to do. That we didn't ask you to give them that ultimatum. What we ask you for was information. That's what we ask you for.
But you got your outcome you wanted.
How do you know what we wanted?
Exactly.
This is not ever what was stated what was wanted. What I want is fair and equitable treatment for all employees. So that was statement was made many times. And it must be fair and equitable for everybody.
And I think I've explained that it is fair and equitable for everybody. And behind the fair and equitable, if any of my part-time personnel want to come in and not make any money at any point in their career with the township, I'm all for it. If they don't want to get paid and just be a volunteer and don't want to make any money, they have that prerogative.
So,
but I don't have anyone beating down my door to not work. So I, and my impression would be that seems fair and equitable. I've got no one complaining about not wanting to get paid. And if they are complaining, they're not following the chain of command.
There isn't anybody who's working that's not getting paid. So I'm not sure I understand that statement either.
You mean that they're not going, if they don't work, they don't get paid.
I mean, if they don't want to work, but 8 hours a month instead of the 48.
Well, the 48-hour rule.
That's a huge difference in paycheck.
The 48-hour rule, though, is there for a reason, right? Because now the fiscal officer has to do things that are unnatural on top of everything else to make sure that the insurance that the person's taking is covered and other things, right, that normally would come out of the paycheck. So that caused a problem already in January, February. So there's other things that are happening. There's reasons for the rules, was my understanding. Now, I still haven't seen a copy of where it even says that it has to happen.
Yeah, because there was that was asked for as well. The resolution that grandfathered them in was asked for, and that was never produced either.
I don't think there is a resolution that grandfathered them in.
This
is just assumed that because they're already employees of the township, and both of them indicated they did not wish to do the other role. The firefighter doesn't want to become an EMT. The EMT doesn't wish to become a firefighter. From that point forward, we weren't hiring any people that were strictly one certification or the other, except for if they would be willing to get that other certification in the additional 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the problem is that you've got a rule that says you have to work so many hours in order to keep your status. And you have people that aren't working those hours. And that's an issue because we just went through that.
Why is it an issue?
Well, because we're paying for...
We're not paying for them. Paying them the hours they work.
We're chasing money, okay? The same and again, this person that just resigned had insurance taken out of her paycheck, and she didn't have enough hours to cover her paycheck, to cover that
well,
insurance.
Well, let's just go back to your it's fair and equitable. How is that? I think to Josh's point, how is it not fair and equitable? If I work 5 hours, I get paid 5 hours. If I work 2 hours, I get paid 2 hours.
So the other firefighters do not get township paid retirement because of the situation of the part-time. But the one EMT would get that. So I have an issue there with fair and equitable.
Okay, with EMTs, that has to do at a state level. The EMTs lobbied way better for their retirement program. They did.
I agree with you.
That's not something that we can change. Whether we like it or not, that is not our decision to make.
Absolutely.
And when it's firefighter / EMT that is only part-time, they should have done a better job lobbying, saying they should still get those benefits. They should. But that should have no bearing on our decision here.
Well, I guess
So let me finish because I was making that statement. Okay. To me, it has to be fair and equitable. And that is not fair and equitable. The reason may be that the ORC requires it, but it's still not fair and equitable to the other employees. So now we have an imbalance. Working 2 hours why does one person get a special dispensation? And I'm not necessarily against it. Like I said, I was in the middle of gathering information. I asked what benefit it was to the township. I'm not necessarily opposed to grandfathering people in either, but didn't have all the information, and then the resignation letter came. So what we're voting on is the resignation letter, and I've made my statement, and I'm done talking.
I would like to read something that I had written regarding her resignation, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
While Debbie's resignation leaves a noticeable gap in the team, her absence will be certainly be felt deeply. While she may not have been physically present for every call, her impact on the station and its members was immeasurable. Her role as a source of comfort and support, especially during times of stress and difficulty, cannot be overstated. Debbie's ability to provide a calming presence and lend an empathetic ear undoubtedly contributed to the well-being and morale of the firefighters at Bethel Township. Her departure marks an end of an era, and she will be remembered fondly for her dedication and compassion with this township and the fire department.
Thank you.
Thank you for your statement.
I have nothing further.
Are you ready to vote? Mrs. Reese?
Yes.
Mrs. Dick?
Yes.
Mrs. Van Heren?
No.
Okay, next resolution. Number 24-04-038, a resolution accepting the resignation of Joseph Bordas in the Bethel Township Fire Department.
Mr. Bordas has recently been offered and accepted a full-time position with Beaver Creek Township, in which he has a one-year probation time. We're hoping once his probation's up, he comes back to work with us. He is a great employee. We're sorely going to be missing him, but glad he was able to further his career with the full-time department and working both with us and being on probation. He didn't feel the risk is full-time career, so hopefully we'd like to see him come back once he's done with his probation.
I move for the adoption of resolution 24-04-038.
We have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Ms. Van Heren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Dick?
Yes.
Next resolution 24-04-039, resolution for annual membership to the Miami County Township Association.
Motion.
Have a second?
I'll second that.
Ms. Van Heren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Dick?
Yes.
Next up, resolution 24.
Wait, slow down 1 second. I'm trying to fill these out so we can sign them at the end for Rhonda. Okay, sorry.
Okay, number 24-04-040, a resolution to enter into a 19-month maintenance contract with Stryker for cardiac monitors and CPR devices.
I move for the adoption of resolution 24-04-040.
Have a second?
Second.
Ms. Van Heren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Dick?
Yes.
And just on this covers our cardiac monitors as far as maintenance, wires, batteries. Anything that happens during the maintenance contract is covered with no additional costs. And as far as the Lucas device on our CPR, the battery alone is roughly almost $3,000, and we've already had that replaced under contract.
Wow.
So there's a big savings as far as the contract.
All right, next up. Resolution 24-04-041, a resolution employing the township's attorney on an annual basis for the year 2023.
Motion.
I'll second that. But I do have some discussion. I would like to know how we are going to engage this attorney, if one trustee can reach out to them, or if It has to be an agreement of two in a public meeting and a vote. That's one question. And secondly, to date with the request for public opinion, I have shared with you the all the only request that I made of the public of the prosecutor's office. Well, two actually. One was a written request asking if a food truck could be considered under our zoning code the same as a garage sale, and that you could have however many you can have a year, two, and can't be longer than 3 days. That was a request for an opinion that I made in November or December, probably December. And then also we had a request from a resident here that asked if we could use township funds to pay for campaign activities to fight, to support a referendum in Huber Heights. And that is not allowed by the Ohio Revised Code. I was pretty sure it was, but I actually called Tony Kendall, the Miami County prosecutor, and talked to him and confirmed it. So I've asked for essentially two opinions. One I haven't gotten any response on, it's not urgent. The second one, I called him, he answered my call, and we talked about it right then and there. So I'd like to hear from both of you what your public opinion requests have been and why you feel like the urgent timeline is so necessary with them.
So we do not have to disclose anything confidential. I don't know what you mean by public opinion.
Sorry. Not the public opinion, the official opinion. The prosecutor's opinion on a legal question.
So you want us to disclose what we ask them? Is that what you're...
Well, yeah, I shared what I asked them. I mean, no, there's nothing that's top secret. You don't have to disclose the opinion.
Well, it is confidential, Beth. It's confidential between the three of us because we're the council here.
And I've asked for it multiple times, and you've never shared it with me.
You haven't asked for it, Beth.
Yes, I have. In two meetings, I've asked both of you.
No, ma'am, you have not. No, ma'am, you have not.
Great, we can go into executive session after this for the purpose
We can do that.
Okay.
I'll be happy to do that with you.
And
you
right.
called him.
There's nothing that allows us to go into executive session for this purpose.
Well, then how am I going to find out about this if I can't go into executive session for it and you won't tell me?
Beth, you made a phone call and talked to...
You can call. Yeah,
you've called him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all you have to do is ask that question because, as you know, Beth, that privilege is not privilege between he and I. It's between the three of us because we represent the township. So
exactly.
So you have the right to ask that question.
Great. Okay.
So by all means, feel free to if that's what you want to do.
I don't understand
the question.
Since we all work on the same team, it would be extremely helpful for me to know.
It would be. It would be if you wanted to know. You can call him just like I can call him and ask him that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, and for the record here, you said...
So it's secret, so secretive what you've asked him?
No, nothing secret. Okay, first of all, I don't have a list. I can't remember probably everything I've asked for him that he hasn't responded to. I know that I have things going back from November of 2022
mm-hmm.
that I don't have an answer for.
And
that's a long period of time to have to recall
How
off the top of my head.
How about just the last 3 months?
And the other thing is, there are some things that should remain confidential at this point from the public.
Okay,
With
this whole conversation in mind, how are we going to engage an outside attorney for these same questions? I don't feel like it's my right as one of three to call this attorney, pay X amount per hour for a question that you guys may or may not support. So I feel like all three of us need to be on board to use the services of an attorney. I can't expend township funds if I don't know what they're going for.
Again, sometimes free isn't always free, Beth.
No.
You're getting at. Free isn't always free. Right now, the county prosecuting attorney is free. But I've had a question on fraud up there since the second week of office here, okay? And it's still not resolved.
But to my point, that's not my point. My point is, I have no idea what you have asked him. Now I have an idea that it's something about fraud. I've shared with you what I have asked of him. We don't seem to be able to have an executive session to talk about what you've asked of him. So how am I supposed to find this out except for to call him? So then how are we going to make a decision with an outside attorney? Does it take a quorum of two to decide who can use the outside attorney? Or can just any one of us call? And then if so, how are the other two going to know about it? And how do I know that you didn't already ask him? I mean, it feels like it's kind of a circular catch-22.
So I modeled this resolution off previous attorney hiring resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the line in there in section one says, the township administrator shall serve as the direct contact point between legal counsel and the board. So you would go to the township administrator.
Which right now we have an acting township administrator,
and
that
correct.
Is you.
That's
and
correct.
So we can't do that, or we would be breaching protocol.
We can ask for a legal opinion on that.
We can't have two trustees talking and the third excluded, regardless. It doesn't work that way.
Well, we can, as individuals, are permitted to go to our counsel, even the free prosecutor's office, and ask for something without telling the other ones. We've had this conversation before. It's done all the time. It's not to exclude them. It's because maybe you have something that you need to ask.
I absolutely agree that we can do that. I'm just saying for the county prosecutor that they do that. That is a service they give to us. Albeit it can be sometimes slow, but it is a service. Now we are expending township funds, and maybe I just decide I have a question for fraud and I go ask the prosecutor and it's a $3,000 expense, and you have a question on water bottles and that's a $3,000 expense. If all of a sudden we've jacked up $9,000, I know we have a limit of five, but how do we, since we're not discussing it ahead of time necessarily, or only two of us are discussing it, I don't feel like it is a wise use of township dollars when we're not all on the same page ahead of time going to ask this question to use township funds.
So the reason that, as we discussed in the workshop, the reason that we wanted to have somebody available is because Miami County Prosecutor's Office has not been as responsive as they should be. If I'm still waiting for an opinion on something from November of 2022, that's a year and a half ago, okay, then that shows that maybe they're not as responsive as they should be. Now, Mr. Engler has said they're going to try to be more responsive to us. I'm hoping that's true. So I am hoping that we will never use any of this money. We'll never need this attorney. If they're responsive, we won't need. But if a situation comes up where we need an answer on something and they're not available, we will be in a position, this is planning.
So how will
we will be in a position to have an attorney ready.
So
we
how
won't,
will
we
I
can't,
know
we won't have time.
Is, I won't. I won't know what the question is. I
you
mean,
don't know now.
I don't know now, but now I have the prerogative to call.
And you still have the prerogative, Beth. Nothing has changed.
And
your privilege
me,
has not changed.
And it'll cost me, if us, it'll cost the township a 15-minute increment for that phone call.
He's billed by the 10th, and there's no retainer that's taken from him either. You know, this is redundant. I mean, I think that sometimes you push the envelope just a little too hard. I'm ready to vote. Are you ready to vote?
I would just like to say one more thing.
Hang on just a second. Go ahead.
So in business, we have a saying that failing to plan is planning to fail.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a precaution so that if we are ever in the position where we need it, we will be ready to go. We won't have to wait and call a meeting and have a resolution and vote, interview an attorney, and get somebody on the hook. We will be ready. That is the only reason for this.
And my only
I'm ready
question,
to vote now.
I'm not done talking. My question is, how will I know? I mean, obviously, you guys may use him, or the two of you may agree, or we as a team don't seem to be able to, as three trustees, make that decision to utilize this outside attorney services for which we are spending township funds.
Beth, we're not as a team making that decision now to use the Miami County prosecutor.
But it's not costing us any money.
But it is costing us money.
How is that?
Time is money, Beth. Time is money. Well, I've been waiting since the second week of January to find out whether or not we can ask for what we've paid for somebody else who was unauthorized to get our money back. So don't.
Wow. Well, I've learned more about what your public or your opinion request was right now.
You have the right to ask that question of him. You yourself said that at your business meeting.
I do. And you know what? I have two trustees that I work with that could actually share what they asked because I thought we worked as a team. I shared with them.
It's not appropriate. It is not appropriate at this point for some cases to discuss those in public.
So everything that you ask is not appropriate.
Oh my God.
No, not. I'm saying there's some things.
Okay, so share with me the ones that are appropriate. That'd be fine.
I don't know. I don't have the list of the things I've asked for in front of me.
Okay.
So I don't know. But when you're in the middle of something, I mean, anybody who has used an attorney knows you don't go out there and start talking about the case, right? Because you want to do the research, the due diligence, and find out where you are. Maybe it turns out that the opinion is that it's nothing. So. Mm-hmm. Then you can say, okay, I asked for this, I was wrong, or I didn't need it, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an attorney, and there's client attorney privilege for a reason.
I'm not asking for anything top secret, I feel. But well, anyway, you I'm okay with you going with the vote. We've talked about this long enough.
Oh, yes, we have.
All right, Ms. Van Herren?
No.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Thick?
Yes.
One second. That was 41, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, no, that was 41. Yeah.
41.
Did you motion that?
Yes, I did.
Are you sure?
Yes. For the attorney, yes. And then Beth seconded it.
Okay. I messed this one up then.
Mm-hmm.
Another page, I think. Okay.
Good.
Please continue.
All right. Resolution number 24-04-042, a resolution authorizing the purchase of new playground equipment for Friendship Park at a cost not to exceed $50,000.
I move to adopt resolution 24-04-042.
Do we have a second?
I'm not sure the order was due this. I will second it. My discussion is I would like to postpone this until a future meeting because I'd like to ask for some legal opinion on it. Sorry. This just came up last week in the workshop, and we went, so the history behind this is the school moved some of the playground equipment when they opened the new elementary from the old elementary playground to the new, but they didn't move it all. So they offered what they didn't move to us to put in the park, but it would cost a lot of money. And I don't know if you guys know about playground equipment today, but you have to have a certain licensed, I don't know, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong here. Somebody has to come and install it for you and make sure it's set up correctly. Otherwise, there's liability and the warranty's void and all this stuff. So it was going to cost a lot of money to do that. And instead of doing that, we somehow just went and said, okay, well, we're just going to buy new because it's a lot cheaper. But I want to understand what we're buying and what the liability is, and should we have playground equipment? Because now I've gotten a lot of feedback since last Tuesday saying maybe we should not have playground equipment. Maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, we don't know. So I would like to postpone this to a future meeting. That's my discussion.
So you want a motion to table it?
Until she gets a legal opinion. Am I stating that right?
Yes, but I'd like to postpone it as opposed to table. If we table it, then we're in that situation where we have to vote on it at the workshop. So if we postpone it, we can go to the next regular meeting. I know last time we tabled it, remember you weren't happy about voting on it at the workshop, and I'm in agreement with you. I don't want to be voting in the workshop unless we have to.
So if my discussion is that if we move forward with this and we don't have a legal opinion and we only have the one estimate, correct, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Then, and but there's nowhere to get a second estimate, if I remember correctly.
We can try to find some more. We just found a pretty good one, local.
He was going to find a couple more estimates.
Okay. We're just trying to get a rough idea.
Rough idea?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was coming from Indiana. Or was that the guy that's coming from Indiana to take the other stuff down?
Yeah, that was the first guy that I got a hold of that recommended we don't mess with used equipment.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm okay with tabling it.
Well, we can just remove the motion.
Okay, so I withdraw my second.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Okay, and then a resolution to, or a, I guess a vote to postpone.
We'll just put it on later on. We don't have to postpone it. We'll just
okay.
Resolution number 24-04-043, a resolution authorizing the purchase of a lighting package for the mini dump at a cost not to exceed $9,170.67, utilizing American Rescue Plan Act funds.
Motion.
I'll second that.
Ms. Van Herren?
Yes.
Wait. Discussion here a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Since you guys are out here in the audience. I like to normally get two estimates when we start talking about close to $10,000 in expenditures. We tried to get two estimates. We've been waiting on an estimate for this light package from, it was Kiefenbacher's here off of 235, but we took the truck over. We've been waiting almost a week now for the second estimate, and as of today, we don't have it. So this is all we have to deal with, and that's why it's on the agenda tonight, or would have been on the agenda last night, and now it's moved to tonight. But I always like to get two.
So we're still going to get two.
Mm-hmm.
So to account for that, the way it's written is that this is why it says not to exceed $9,170.67. If we get other estimates and they look better, then we can accept one of those.
Right.
And that's written in the resolution. The assistant to the township administrator, which is Mr. Arnold, will get the three quotes, determine the best value, and purchase the lighting package.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so we'll still get three quotes. Mm-hmm. Just maybe not, I mean, obviously not like tonight.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. Ms. Van Herren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Dick?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. Resolution 24-04-044, a resolution to record electronic payments and warrants.
I move to adopt the resolution 24-04-044.
We have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Is there any discussion? None. Okay, Ms. Van Herren?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Dick?
Yes.
We're now moving on to public comments on any topic.
received.
Donahue is 9360 South Rand Road, Tip City, Ohio. Beth, when you were talking about that Senate bill, that's agenda 21. That's a type of agenda 30, agenda 21, and we need to investigate that very, very badly. Not quickly, but I also want to thank you for that, your results about buying those different homes. My grandson will be a second-time homeowner. My granddad will be a first-time homeowner, possibly a farmer. So thank you very much for that. The main question regarding the annexation, how do we know the work they're doing is not on unannexed land now? I see those homes getting closer and closer to 40. I see the farmhouse was knocked down. I hear the whining of the Sauls all day long, cutting mature trees that absorb the carbon footprint, leaving deer no place to go now. Who is double checking that they're not encroaching? And the reason I'm talking about that, there was some ecological land that this developer came in during the weekend, cut it all down, never made appropriations, never made reparations, and now it's homes. Another builder built on it. So I'm really, I brought this statement up once before, the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, and it goes all the way back to Runnymede in England. The law that you referenced to me is an immoral, wrong law. It took from the poor and gave to the rich. I don't know why nobody thought about protesting it since 2003.
You mean current annexation law?
Where they said, and I know I've heard phrases, it's a law. Jim Crow was a law. Prohibition was a law. But this was an immoral law, taking from the poor, giving to the rich. And I'm glad that you both clarified at the meetings about school boards, because we're looking at 4,600 kids in less than 4 years. 1,300 homes plus more, average two kids per home.
Yep.
That would be total of 46 kids in less than 5 years. I'm not sure we have the money to.
But that was why it was wise to set it straight right when it happened. So I think we did that right then. I mean, there were several of us in the audience that said, "Hey, you got that wrong." Yeah.
I also remember working on the campaign to pass that money to stop annexation. It was to stop annexation, and it went into the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime anything goes in the general fund, it goes away.
Well,
I'm not done. I'm done. The feeling of this whining of the souls has made me extremely irritable and mad. Mad at the prior people here that you didn't do anything. Mad that the rich people in our community didn't do anything. And now I'm going to have Huber in my back door.
Mm-hmm.
The whining of the saw goes from early morning to dusk. Mm-hmm. It's ruining the environment. It's ruined. So if you can check with the attorneys and say noise pollution, it's ruining the carbon, increasing the carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So you're cutting, taking from growing trees to concrete, sidewalks, asphalt tiles. These are the points. I have an extra book so you guys read it, because that is what you would base your case on.
Mm-hmm.
The lesser magistrates. So thank you, and again, thank you for your reports on those, because I'll be able to check that out. And thank you for speaking out.
So, I had a resident call me about the they're putting in the base for a road. So I talked to Paul Huelskamp, the engineer. Because
base for the road where?
At the back of Carriage Trails 1, or at the northern side of Carriage Trails 1 and the southern end of proposed Carey's Trails 2. They've started to dig a road. But until they can, because they own that property, it's owned by the...
How do I know that they're working on their property? Because I'm seeing those homes being built closer and closer to 40. And my understanding is his farm has not been annexed. Lady's farm has not been annexed.
I'm only going on the aerial map and what the map department has told me and the engineers department has told me.
I think someone better check that out, because
all the work that has been done to date on homes is in annexed property. This road, what somebody called me that, they're grading it, they're putting down gravel. It is fine for them to do. It'd be like if you just wanted to put a new driveway in. Until you connect it to an existing road, that's and or until you pave it. So that's
the reason I'm asking that question is I've heard the rumor is the owner of the land annexes a little bit, builds on it, annexes a little bit, builds on it, annexes a little bit, builds on it. Because you can see those homes coming closer and closer, and I thought the whole farm had not been annexed.
So the way the annexation petition works is it's one annexation petition for 295 acres.
Did that parcels, include Lady's farm?
It did include Lady's
then
farm.
Then why are they building on Lady's farm?
So I don't think that they're building on the current 295 acres. I will check again with Miami County building inspectors. They'd have to get permission
of
from
that
them.
295, how much of that was Lady's farm?
I don't know off the top of my head.
They're building on unannexed land now.
I'll check with the building department again. I did check with them. They said no, they were not. But I'll ask them
again. I know
what
they say. Mm-hmm. Look.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are, but they've already knocked down Lady's house.
Yeah.
They knocked down the barn. And they're so where did Lady's land start and begin?
Well, they split off portions of it beforehand, but it still hasn't been annexed. None of it's been annexed.
If it's been split,
but you can make modifications. Can't build a house, but they can make the modifications.
Those homes are built. You can see the front door from 40.
You know, I know, but I also know that they had a strip of land left that wasn't built because they didn't have the rest of. They wanted to finish it off. But I'll double check with the building department.
And this is one of the more questions you could ask an attorney instead of waiting on Tony.
Well, it's not Tony that I'm going to ask. It's the Miami County Building Department, because they would have to get all those permits, even though it goes through them.
And I also want no commercial traffic on Hefner and Mann Road and the streets in Brandt.
Right.
You could make that stop. Don't tell me the township can't, because they've stopped a lot of places in North Phoenix and Anthem, Arizona. I don't know the walls, but I'm saying people can stop it. Because if you're worried about how much it's going to cost you for your road, you don't think those semis and those big trucks would come up there? They ain't paying for it.
Right. We will.
We'll get screwed again.
We would love to block that traffic. We are not, sadly, a municipality. So we
And Aaron, again, this is where it's wrong. It is wrong to take from the poor to give to the rich.
I'm 100% with you on that.
What are you... Okay.
I know I am. I totally agree. It is. If they have the right to do something, so should we. I agree.
And here again, you guys are not popping on the board at the time, but it pisses me off that nobody challenged that law when it went in. I didn't know about the law. All I knew was my levy passed, and I'm going to stop that annexation. My money was going to stop that annexation. It was going to go into a separate fund, and it didn't. I'm still very angry with that.
And I can't tell you how many people that I talk to say the same thing that you're standing up here saying right now. We passed that to stop this.
It was to stop the annexation. The water line was supposed to stop the annexation.
The water line was designed to be a deterrent to it, and it was designed so that we could do our own development, and we didn't do our own development. And
Who's going to put the water in that new section of Carey's Trail?
That is still going up for discussion between Miami County and Huber Heights.
So who will be paying for that cost?
It will.
Miami County, Bethel Township, or Huber?
It will not be Miami County, I can tell you that. They won't pay for anything.
So I'm looking at Bethel and
no, you. Bethel won't pay for it. No, we won't.
Are
pay
you
for
sure?
It. I'm
because are you already, you already gave me my, excuse me. Your representatives already gave me the assurance that that levy would stop it. You gave me an assurance, you being the board, not you, Beth, that that water line will stop it. I was thrilled to see stop it.
I have been a trustee for 18 years, and I have never, ever said that water and sewer would stop annexation. What I have said multiple times is that it is our best chance to build infrastructure so that we can build our own development and that can block annexation. But I've never said, I have never said, none of the other trustees who have sat up here with me have ever said that water and sewer would stop it. Now, it could be before your time. I was not on the board in 2003 when the original levy passed, but water and sewer in itself is one of the best deterrents to future
annexation. It did deter it, Beth. It did not deter it.
If you do development alongside it, and we have not done that, and as a trustee, I am sorry that I did not push that part heavier, harder. Development is a four-letter word in Bethel Township. I get it, and none of us want to see it. We did delay it for 2.5 years. The first annexation petition came out in September 2021. And that was stalled because we had water and sewer.
Did you, as a board, procure other developers that would build in Bethel Township under our laws?
We've talked to other developers. We actually even talked to DEC several times. And I can share with you what they have shared with us, which was promises there will be no referendum. And we said, we cannot promise you that. We can't. So. They said they were not willing to do the engineering and design costs and then get turned away.
I'm in a position as one person. Mm-hmm. I will vote down every damn levy you guys have.
Okay.
Except fire. Fire boots.
Thank you.
The volunteer fire department saved my children's father's life. Saved him from being a quadruped, being paralyzed from the waist down. So that was volunteers. So thank you very much for that. And I voted down that Bethel bomb, that Bethel levy, because they used the word ongoing.
Oh, the school levy. Mm-hmm. Okay,
school
that's
levy.
Not us, though.
And that's not you.
The school district.
I am in the weeds with this. I'm
gotcha,
just telling
okay.
you, I will use my voice like I did on that when that levy passed. When Carriage Trail was just a little bitty thing.
Bench.
And Park Train. Those words that was told to me in the meeting was, this will stop it.
Yeah, and I didn't work on that levy, and I wasn't part
I did.
Of that campaign. You did? Oh, okay.
I did work on it. I did go to around my neighbors, so I know what I was told. Yeah. I would know what I was told about the water levy. Not me. Didn't come from your mouth. Did not. Come, but I was told that water line will stop advancing Huber. Mm-hmm. I was told that, not by your mouth, but Pripyat I trusted got it right. Mm-hmm. So guess how bad I'm going to be tomorrow night when that whining salt will start again. Mm. Pray for Kit Tom. Mm. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Miss Donahue.
Natalie Donahue, 7835 Agenbrock Road. Take a minute after that. Thank you, Donna. On the paper, I said zoning codes, but really it might be regulations. I just wanted to check. I just haven't done the research myself, but I've been seeing a lot of cargo containers pop into the community. I thought I remembered that they were not allowed at all. Even if they were painted really fancy and they looked really nice, is that a statement still?
Yes, cargo containers are not permitted in the township. Now there is something, the agricultural exemption, that's kind of a gray area. If they have, say, a cargo container on Route 40 in Palmer that is turned into a chicken coop, then that's a little different.
Yep.
So
there's one there that's turned into a goat house.
Yeah, and that's on agricultural ground. That is an agricultural exemption. So,
I'm sorry, the one on the corner of 40?
Yeah.
That's an R1 AAA, isn't it?
No, it's A1. All of those are A1.
All A1.
Yeah. And is it only if they have agricultural?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have agricultural zone ground to have agricultural exemption of any sort.
Okay. But isn't there something on there that says you only can get one outbuilding?
No, for agricultural.
There's only one on A1?
No, agricultural exemption not only doesn't limit your buildings, it doesn't limit your placement of the building. It doesn't. So, yeah, the agricultural exemption is a big deal. That's why a lot of people try to get the A1s properties. Gives you a lot more leeway.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something we should consider writing amendments to revise that.
Yeah.
Well, we can only do so much. The ORC is where the agricultural exemption comes from. It's not us. That's what overrides us. So. Yeah. So yeah, we can't adjust that. Unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you for that. The other thing was. People living in RVs full time, what's the standing on that? I know Beth put that in the.
Yeah, no, you can't do it.
You know, stay there at all.
And
unless you have a temporary residence that you've been approved for, which we don't have
and
any
how
currently.
Would,
in
how would the
township
know that?
We don't.
We don't. They're supposed to come and apply. If we get a complaint that someone suspects, the process is you send a letter, you ask, and it pretty much goes from there, the conversation from there. We don't go out to the property and investigate or try to go into the trailer or anything like that. We don't have the power to do that.
So how does it ever how does that ever stop? Then.
Well.
I mean, it's a county thing too, right?
Yeah.
And so, do you take it to the county?
Is it a county-wide issue or county-wide zoning thing?
I think zoning.
Okay,
yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know, county level.
Historically, it's been people call us and say, "Hey, my brother and his wife are in the trailer and they won't leave. Can you come?" And so that's been the bulk of them. I know it's changing. I've gotten a call or two about those, and it's the hard thing is that we don't have access to the property to go in and check. So, like Mike said, you send the letter, send the certified letter. Can take them to court if you can prove that they haven't complied, but even then, there's sadly not much we can do.
So we can't find them daily for not leaving then?
We can't personally find them, but once it gets to the county level, that's if they accept it and
right.
You feel there's enough information to move forward, that's when they can start issuing fines and that kind of thing. But to get it to that point, that is the hard part. For the township.
So why even have the law anyway then?
I understand completely, trust me. It's frustrating for us too.
Yeah, no, we'd like to have more teeth in it. We really would.
And is that something we can put more teeth in? I mean, where does that get held up at?
Well, we don't necessarily have a...
We don't have a property maintenance code.
Property maintenance code. And so that's one area. So we don't have... enforcement like that, and so then we're limited by what we can do with the Ohio Revised Code, and that is outside of our ability. And sadly, it goes to probably the health department to investigate, and even the health department has reduced the number of people who do that type of on-site inspections, sadly, because they were for a while super helpful and really on top of it, and then they I don't know if they had budget cuts or if they just decided they were going to put their focus elsewhere, but they don't have as many people doing that. And then after they file their complaint, the courts have to accept it. And sometimes, I mean, Mike can tell you, he's worked multiple times on a property issue, and they've just said, oh, yeah, no.
And just to put it in perspective, the county doesn't even have a property maintenance code. So I've called and discussed that with them to see why they don't and if they think we should. And they just said they do not have the manpower to do it. They don't have the manpower. It just kind of puts in perspective our manpower issue to do a maintenance code. But that's why it's not because we don't want to, you know, let this happen or anything like that. It's just it's just hard to prove.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, I do think housing is getting tighter and tighter and more expensive. I think you're probably going to see, sadly, more of it. And what ways we have to combat it are, we don't have the tools. We just don't. We don't have the Ohio Revised Code doesn't give us the power to do anything. And so we're really relying on when we send you that letter that you say, oh,
you're
okay.
A responsible citizen. And, take
and
it
you're
to
not.
Heart.
You're just going to put up a bigger screen.
The rule breakers are not paying attention
yeah.
to that.
And we know that.
There's no reason to have that all.
It's
frustrating.
It is very frustrating. I totally agree. We'd love to do something about it. Well, that and all the, you know, the junk on properties that we can't get rid of.
One of the questions that I sent up to the attorney was exactly what you're talking about. And I had a conversation with him by phone on Friday. And there are things that townships around us are doing to get rid of the nuisance housing. He did Elizabeth Township. And they are coming up with guidelines to get rid of these issues that we're having. It doesn't necessarily have to go through the county. That is what he said. So I think when we talked on Friday, I'm going to make a phone call and find out exactly what they did. What he told me was that they had had a couple of properties, junk car properties, and a couple of properties that had, campers and trash and just really whatever. And what they did was notice the property owner, and then after so many notices or so much information transpired between the township and the property owner, they did send a crew out, and that's probably what Mike's talking about. We don't have a crew, but I think you can hire that out now. And they cleaned it up, and they put it on the person's property taxes. And this came from him direct. So I don't know exactly what has to be done for us to be able to do something like that. So I'm going to have to make those phone calls and try to figure out and then bring it back and decide if that's something that maybe we want to pursue. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and there's several properties that I have brought to Mike's attention as well that I've had phone calls on from my neighbors. And the metal building, the coax thing, that was one of them as well. So I think I forwarded you an email on the other one on 40 that was pretty bad, that you sent a couple letters out to. So I know what you're saying, but I guess, you know, until I can talk to them, I don't know what we can do or what we can't do. I know what they've done in the past, but according to that attorney, that question was asked 6-8 weeks ago, and this is a response I got. Yes, you can, but you're going to have to try to figure it out like they figured it out. So.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I wanted to ask. But I did want to follow up with a previous conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that, and I know that you probably know this, but the school board has multiple lawyers, and any one school board member can call at any time. And they frequently do. I never have, but that doesn't mean I can't. And we don't know what the other person does because or why they're calling, and I don't even think that it's that important unless it's something then that needs to be shared. And if I understand the money part of it, because it comes right out of our school funds too, and maybe some people call a lot, and like me, no, I don't call, I haven't had a reason to, but I did want to say perhaps a suggestion would be if somebody makes a call to somebody other than the prosecutor that's free, say, hey, I talked on the phone for 15 minutes. And so everybody knows what the hourly rate is. You kind of know. And I think that's all that's needed. No reason. It doesn't need to go any deeper than that to keep it at a level where you can keep track of the funds. And that would be my suggestion, because that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to confirm things for yourself, and not everybody has to know all the time. It's just really not necessary, in my opinion, but what I've experienced myself firsthand. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. O'Quinn?
Mickey O'Quinn, 7925 Wyndham Road. Got a question on the receipt. Thank you for fixing it. Doesn't say payments this month.
thank you for noticing.
I have a question about the charter communications. It says franchise fee remittance. Is that we remitted to them or they remitted to us? Because if they remitted to us, what franchise do we have with them?
You're in the receipt.
This is just an administrative thing.
You're in the receipt part, right?
Yeah, receipt part.
Okay.
It's $77,219 and change.
Yeah, so I'm not the fiscal officer, but as best I can recall, Charter Communications is our cable, Josh? Charter Communications?
Cable or?
Spectrum.
Spectrum.
What's Charter?
If it's a franchise fee, normally that's what the cable company pays the township in order to provide service in the township.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if that $7,000, I don't know what the O, likely it should be I would assume it'd be a deposit to us.
Yeah, well, it is. It's
a receipt.
Receipt.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it was a refund, that there was some kind of lawsuit, but I will follow up on that and get you the information.
They're paying us, which I find it odd given the company name. What cable company pays me, please? I want that cable.
Charter is Spectrum is owned by Charter Communications.
Yeah.
That's the main.
Okay, I didn't know that.
That's the main, I guess, corporate name for Spectrum, and then Spectrum's a division of Charter.
Okay, because I knew at one time Charter was all by themselves.
Yeah, and then they bought up Time Warner and name and everything else. But the franchise fee is basically them being able to provide service.
Yeah,
the township to the citizens, and then they pay us an X
amount. Quarterly, every year.
Okay. I was just wondering, because
I don't know if it's the result of a lawsuit.
I don't think this was the quarterly thing, but we can pull the receipt and let you know.
All right, I was just kind of curious, because like I said, I've never had a cable company pay me for anything.
Yeah, well, you're
poor franchising.
Yeah, it wasn't by their
company,
choice.
That's kind of cool, too.
It's probably an itemized on your bill that you're paying it, and then we get it. So technically, you're probably paying it.
Alrighty, just wondering. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Fritz.
Good evening, Deborah Fritz, 5227 South State Route 202. I will apologize in advance. I'm having to read this because I had two of our trustees have to back out at the last minute, so I have kind of three separate things. When Woodward Hill came to the Bethel Township trustees to ask about a water line coming north from Studebaker in February of 24, we knew we were taking a huge chance. We had several meetings before we decided we would come. Woodward Hill Water has maintained our water line since the early 1970s when it was created. We have never asked the township for anything. For that matter, we have not asked anyone to help us financially. We've taken care of everything ourselves. In fact, we have not had any direct financial support from the township, as we all live on state routes or our private road, which the residents maintain. Not that we don't use township roads, but we do not benefit. The state takes care of our roads. Now that we've asked, the word is out. It's all over Tip City at this point. Our property values will drop. That's a given. Knowing that there will be a problem down the road or tomorrow will cause the values to go down further. No one will be interested in purchasing our properties. Drilling a well is not the answer. The lack of water provided from a well, especially in the warmer months, is well documented. If you add a drought to that, it would become even more of a catastrophic event. It continues to be the same problem that the residents faced before Woodward Hill Water was created. We are trying to be proactive about this. It's not an emergency at the moment, but it could be tomorrow. We as homeowners have paid into the 3.8 mil general fund since 2003 when it was first passed. So 20 years of payments from our 19 homes is approximately $176,000 that we have paid. using a basis of $350,000 for a home for the last 20 years. In the last 4 years, $350,000 has just been thrown out the window, which is where we came up with that figure. I would like to know how much the township contributed to the Fountain Water Project, the Brant Water Project, Fountain Sewer Project, and Brant Sewer Project. How much were the assessments to property owners for each of these projects? How many years in the duration of each assessment? Please regard these questions as a public records request. The township helped fund these crucial infrastructure projects. We believe our water project is as important as those projects. I am requesting that the trustees support the Woodward Hill Water Project by funding the engineering study. I know that the 3.8 mil general fund levy was replaced in 2022. I voted for it. This means it should generate even more money than it did before. I have, from the auditor's website, the statement of a semi-annual apportionment of received $379,056.20. Since this is just the first half, I'm assuming it will generate a double that for the year, or close to $740,000. Is this true? How much did the levy generate in previous years, and what was the money spent on? Please again regard this question as a public records request. The Woodward Hill Project is important to all of us. Without a consistent source of clean water, our homes would become unlivable or would require water trucked in. The trustees can prevent a further annexation of 200 plus acres by supporting the extension of the water line to Woodward Hill. Thank you.
Hang on, I get one question. I just want to make sure you said Fountain Water and Sewer, how much the township spent?
I'd like to know how much the township contributed to the Fountain Water Project, Brant Water Project, Fountain Sewer Project, and the Brant Sewer Project.
Okay, and then also
how much the assessments were to the property owners.
Okay.
And how many years is the duration
number of, years.
Of each assessment?
Some of those had 20-year assessments, and some I think had 10.
I think every assessment is 20 years, but it could be, I'm pretty sure they're all 20.
Okay.
But we can check that out. And then how much is it generated in past years? The levy?
Yeah. When the levy was first passed in 03, we took it 20 years forward. We used an average of $350,000 per month.
Yeah, it's 178, right?
176. And when it was regenerated in 2022, it looks like it should have generated $379,056.20
for the half.
In the first half, which makes it $740,000 per year.
You had one more question.
How much did the 3.8 mil levy bring in previous years, and what was it spent on?
Okay.
Can you, would you mind putting your public records request in writing to the fiscal officer, who is our records person?
Mm-hmm.
It's fiscal officer at betheltownship.org.
It's on the newsletter, isn't it? The address?
No.
I don't think that one is. That's a generic fiscal officer.
Can I direct it to anyone?
Yeah, you can send it to anyone on the newsletter. That's fine.
Okay.
We'll get it to her.
Okay. Any idea when I can receive this information?
We have to respond in a timely fashion.
I think it's 30 days.
Yeah, but we try and do it faster than that.
Okay.
And we should have all this information. We've got it.
Okay.
So,
right. Thanks for your consideration.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Brewer. What's your name?
My name is Barbara Brewer, and I live at 5578 State Route 202. 50 years ago, Bob Swisher designed and presented his plan to obtain an FHA loan to obtain for the construction of a water system to an area lacking in water. Woodward Hill Water was created and built with the combined efforts of the members of the corporation. We have served 19 homes and have never asked the township for monies to support the initial engineering, construction, or the maintenance of the Woodward Hill. In 2003, we began paying into the 3.8 mil tax for the township. Consequently, we have paid taxes to subsidize the projects for Bethel Township. Our system is 50 years old. We know that we need to plan ahead and create a solution to upgrade our water delivery service. We feel that the time is come for Bethel Township to become a partner with us. Final note, I for one am grateful to have been associated with this group of conscientious members of the Woodward Hill Water Corporation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Swisher?
Tom Swisher, I live at 5409 State Route 202. Like they said, it's more than a half a century ago. 55 years ago, we did not have the option of going south on State Route 202 to get water at Fountain. Fountain did not have water, and we would have had to have get permission to dig a lot of front yards up and driveways. And now water has been brought up State Route 201 across 40 to Fountain, and will soon be brought down 202 to within 1 mile of where Woodward Hill is. Back then we had to do something. We decided to go with Tip City. We ended up asking Tip City if they would sell us water. They agreed to sell us water at a reasonable rate and have been doing so for over 50 years. They've been cooperative and a good neighbor. The Bethel trustees in 1970 also voted to accept us as a corporation to supply water to the residents.
Thank you. Oh, wow, you found a letter.
Yep,
thank
Jeez.
You.
That letter shows that 4 of the 5 members voted yes to accept us. The 5th member was not there that day. This was all going to depend on strong acceptance and cooperation from all the parties involved. So digging under the river and going to Tip City was our only option back then. We're also less than a mile away from the Studebaker Road where the new water line will be terminated. When my family was in the process of buying our house in 1966, we asked the seller if we had a good well there. They told us the well was working good, but the neighbors were having problems with their wells. After we moved in, we had a large rainstorm which made our well water muddy. This was caused by muddy water going through cracks in the limestones into the pocket of water that was supplying our well. This pocket of water also became less dependable during droughts. This house also had a cistern to catch rainwater off the roof. The house was plumbed with a pump and pressure tank to supply part of the house from that well, and another pump and pressure tank to supply the other part of the house from the cistern. The next door neighbor to the north of us could only flush their toilet once a day in order to conserve water. The next door neighbor to the south of us had three wells. After 30 years, that house was sold, and the new owner joined our water corporation out of frustration with the three wells. Further to the north, a new house was being built. They dug two wells. The second well, after 250 feet, found polluted water that was not safe for drinking. Other wells in the neighborhood had strong sulfur smell and limited water supplies. This is why the community got together to form Woodward Hill Water 55 years ago. It would not be easy if something happened to our water supply from Tip City, such as a leak underneath the river, to just go out the next day and drill another well. We have always assumed township trustees would back us up if we needed support. We would like to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to our water supply and any engineering and design work.
Thank you.
Did you want Mike's up next?
Yeah, Mr. Fritz.
Yes.
Mike Fritz, 5227 South State Route 202. We, the residents of Woodward Hill, have been responsible for our water system for the last 50 plus years. We have not asked the township for a cent for engineering, construction, maintenance, fees, and that timeline. We know that as elected officials, you are doing your best to be fair and equitable with how your funds are spent in our township, and we are very appreciative of the care and concern the trustees take regarding expenditures. We are asking for the same consideration that the residents of Fountain and Brant receive for their water and sewer infrastructure projects. We are not asking the township to take debt to pay for this water line, and we are willing to pay our fair share of cost. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Just have one question for
you.
Mm-hmm. I know you're a co-op, so you have a balance sheet and so forth.
Yes.
Do you have money in your reserves to contribute to?
We're trying to get some. We're up to probably about 40,000, 41.
Okay.
That's not exact, but that's close.
Yeah.
And that's also based on, we have a leak tomorrow, it wipes out 10 grand.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, you and I have had a conversation about it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking is that we need to, if we can, and that's why I call Josh and ask him about dealing directly with Tip City, since your service is already being provided by Tip City, if they wouldn't be inclined to maybe, that wasn't what he did. So he went strictly to the county commissioners and strictly asked them to do an engineering study and didn't come back with a cost for it. So Beth has given a kind of a ballpark figure for what she thinks it might run.
Now, I'm echoing what Josh said.
Yeah,
which
excuse
was,
me. I gave you a letter from
him
that he gave an estimate.
I'm echoing his estimate, which is 60,000.
Okay, yeah. From that, I get that. But from his conversation on Friday that he left me, I'll be happy to play you the voicemail, it doesn't mention not one dime. He just says they want you to pay for it. They want us to pay for it, for that study. And part of me says, okay, yeah, you know, I want to do right by the citizens of this community for sure, you know. But then when you look at
how much it's going to cost to just do that study. And I'm not even sure, since he didn't give me that dollar figure, and he did talk to the county commissioners, and they aren't willing to pay one thin dime of it. That struck me as a little odd, you know. And then I get from Beth, and I'm only 90 days in here. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm hearing here, I don't have all the answers for. But what she's saying is, in order for us to get these grants, we have to be shovel ready, which means we have to do these engineering studies. But nobody's willing to fork over the money to help us do these engineering studies. Wait, well, let me finish, please. Let me finish, please. No, we fork over $60,000 when, you know, maybe this is a little bit of the county's issue as well. I mean,
I believe I understand, though, that you can put out for bid at no cost to see what the engineering study might cost.
We can, but we have to run an ad in the paper because we don't have the list of approved contractors, and it's over $50,000. But if I didn't hear your phone call from Josh, but if the county will take that on as long as we commit to pay for it, then they would, that would be part of the cost.
What kind of cost would that be? Do you know?
He didn't say. You know how
to write an ad in paper. What is it? $200,
$300? It depends on the wording, but you know, it's anywhere between $175 to $360, mm-hmm. depending on the amount of letters.
So if the trustees would approve that expenditure, would you at least start getting some bids? If I could get all the trustees in Woodward Hill to approve that, that we would do that part financially?
Sure.
I would like to see, I'd like to see what the county says before I would commit. And the reason is that when Josh left his message on my phone, he didn't, you know, it's been 6-7 weeks since I was at your house or whatever, and I called him, and he showed up here at a meeting. And there is a letter, like you said, you did share that with us. But that's the only correspondence that I've had with him, and that was a voicemail message which said, yeah, like, I talked to the county, and they're willing to do your engineering study. What was it?
They're willing to go out for the bidding, but we have to pay for it. That's something that they have done in the past. They handled the engineering studies for the fountains and the water projects. We paid for them, but they took, because they have a list of approved contractors, they can choose from one of those approved contractors.
Did the township end up paying any part of that engineering study?
We paid for the engineering studies for Fountain and for Brandt, and we paid for a complete engineering study on the southern end of the township, 2005 or something, for water and sewer, just to give an estimate. But that was more like an overview. And then the engineering studies for Fountain and Brandt, we did pay for those. And part of that reason is, as I've shared before, in order to get matching funds or any type of grants or even the 0% low interest loan or 0% loans from USDA and OPWC, you have to be shovel ready. And so, and that is one of the reasons, Donna, I'm looking at you, why we have this 3.8 mil levy general fund is infrastructure was important and still is important in the southern end of the township, but it's also important in the rest of the township. We ran this sewer line to the school. We, the township, you, the township residents, paid for us $370,000. But that allowed Bethel Local Schools to build, I don't know how much a school classroom costs, $150,000? Two extra classrooms. But we felt that that was a benefit to the community. This water line, why it just would benefit residents along 202, it also gives fire hydrants along 202, and that helps everybody's insurance. Right, the closer you are to a fire hydrant,
it'll lower your homeowner's insurance.
Right,
because it lowers your ISO class.
So I think that one of the reasons that we passed the 3.8 mil levy is just for projects like this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So maybe we should have Josh come to our next workshop meeting.
anymore.
That is it for public comments.
Okay.
Right. Moving on to announcements. April 15th is tax day. There will be no BZA zoning commission this month. April 30th will be a trustee workshop meeting here at 7 p.m. followed by May 7th trustee regular business meeting, same place, 7 p.m. Anything to add before we adjourn?
Need a motion for adjournment.
I second that.
Any discussion?
Everybody for adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, adjourned at 8:56. Don't leave yet.
No.
Thank you all for coming.
What am I doing from?
Beth, can you sign before you go?
And, so I'm going to dig out one of these. Can you write down all the motions? Can you just check those too? Since I kind of messed that one up. This one I messed up.
The one, I just put all this stuff in here. So.
Here, I have to redo this one. Thank you.
What do we do? Am I just signing on here?
Yeah. I mean, make sure they're right.
Well, if you want to be, that's fine. Did either one of you guys want to look at this book?